What's up, everybody, and welcome back this week for some Loud Thumbs news and happy Friday. I am one of your hosts, Nick.
And I'm your other host, Josh. Ready to get some of this new into some news again.
Yeah, we have, I think I counted them and it was 12 news stories. I think I snuck in some game releases at the end. That's a new thing I want to do here for everybody listening. I'm going to try and shoot you guys what's coming in the next week. So between our news episodes, you kind of get an idea of what's coming out, and maybe we'll be playing some of those as well to talk about. So that will be fun. We'll tack those on as our outro every week in news. That there's anything coming out anyway, right? So we are going to start off though talking about something that is going to be coming out this week that you guys are going to be listening, and that is Need for Speed Unbound. So full series releases on today. So the day you're listening to this, you should be able to pick it up. Some of you early adopters out there who have the EA access could be playing it previously to today, which props to you. That is a I think they're doing a trial for customers on that, and you can get an early access being a member to that. So check that out and see if you might have that. They do give that away for free to some Xbox Game Pass subscribers. So check out and see if you got already a chance to check it out. You might as well try a trial out when you can. That's why they exist.
Hell yeah.
I want to talk about this though, Josh, because we've reported on this. We've seen the footage. We've talked about it. We both like car games. We're both kind of car guys. You much more than me, but this is a game from Criterion, which they're the guys who were in Burnout. Like, everybody associates Criterion games with Burnout because Burnout's amazing. I mean, bottom line, I'll fight you on it. Nobody's gonna tell me that Burnout's not a good game. I am impressed with some of the leaked footage that came out before the launch. And it was only about a week ago, just within this week, I believe it happened. They leaked out about 20 minutes of this game. And it is pretty. So I'm gonna throw it up on screen. This is just gonna be for our YouTube viewers out there, but we'll try to describe it for all of our audio listeners. But it is Need for Speed with, I wanna just say, anime cel shaded effects. Like the pows and the bangs and the whoops and the clouds of smoke, right?
Yeah, with a very like graffiti-esque sort of thing going on with it too.
Yeah, and I have now completely realized and can stamp myself as a visual gamer. If I see something that looks cool, I immediately am interested. Even if it's out of my genre of things I might like, I am more interested when it looks cool. And I haven't been interested in a Need for Speed game for quite some time, to be honest with you. And the fact that this exists and looks this cool, I'm pretty pumped about. I think this could be a winner. This could be a big deal for Need for Speed and Criterion.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, the style is very unique.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is fun looking. Like, it just looks like a really fun game. Like, I don't know how much more I can do to explain it. Anybody who hasn't seen it should go ahead and just do what they can to go find it. And just watch a YouTube video of it or something, or watch the trailer, because it really is a neat game to just watch. And I'm curious on what your take is, like, visually on a racing game that doesn't look 100% realistic, right? Like, this is realistic, but with a cartoon edge, right?
Yeah, it very much is. And definitely in that footage that was leaked. Everything like from a realism standpoint still looks really good. Like they were unfortunately driving a Volkswagen Beetle. I
Yeah.
apologize if you really like those cars. I know there's a cult following. Not
Right.
they're not for me. I don't like them. I think they're ugly as shit. But
Hey, Herbie the
besides
Love Bug is dope, dude. I mean, he's dope.
debatable. But honestly, it's like for the lighting goes and textures in the cars, I mean the cars look great. And then they have those extra little graphics added on to it. I think they look cool. I'm a little bit take or leave it on it. I like to maybe see some more, maybe they get more dramatic as you get faster cars and more modifications, and then you unlock more visuals, which I'm sure is going to happen. I kind of work in under the assumption, since they were driving a Beetle and not like a Ferrari, this, they were, you know, just starting the game and this was entry level stuff. So I'm hoping it'll get like crazier and have cooler graphics from there. But all the graphics that were there, they seemed a bit small. Again, I think it's entry level stuff, but they look good. I can't say they look bad. I definitely like how unique it is, just because racing games have been almost like on the maybe on like leading edge of like realism when it comes to that sort of thing. They want the cars to look good, which is great. I love cars. I want them to look great. If I'm playing a racing game, if the focus is the car, I want the car to look good.
Right, absolutely.
So I think it all looks like really visually pleasing, and it seemed to play pretty well too.
It did. It looked really smooth. Like gameplay looked good, but I think I like the contrast with the realistic looking vehicles with the unrealistic looking effects. Is just so unique and different. This makes me more interested, like I said, in the franchise than it has in a couple decades, honestly. Uh-huh. So I think that's a plus. I want to read a little bit here from the article. This is coming from one of the creators of the game here. And he says, right off the bat, his last name is Trite. His last name is Trite. Where is his name here? I got to tell everybody what his name is. Kieran Crimmings. Okay. So he's the creative director, and he says that they call this living graffiti. He said the visuals flourishes.
Accurate.
Yeah, absolutely. The visuals flourishes shooting off of cars during drifts, boosting, and so on were generated from gameplay development. Crimming says, and you're going to have to play the game to understand why the team has become so enamored with the idea. Not many people can say that on a car game. Like the effects that are happening in the game while playing the game, you're only going to feel a certain way about them unless you're playing it. Most of the time it's like, I know what it's like to play a racing game, right? I say, whatever. But he says, we've had a bunch of graffiti that we were thinking about putting in the world and stuff like that. We're working with JC Riviera and some of our artists and had their work on the wall. And at the same time, we were rebuilding the physics system and the handling system on top of that with the current gen consoles in mind. So, you know, we had a lot more power on with these consoles now that we wanted to completely remake that. So they just saw inspiration and was like, this could be cool if we combine it, and ran with it. I'm excited for this game. I've almost thought of buying this one, but I want to wait and see. It's hitting user scores now are coming out because people have gotten it early.
Sure.
I'm not sure if it's been completely released to be talked about and reviewed. None of the big companies have reviewed it yet, but it's in the 80s, which is pretty good from users.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and I've heard some other outlets talk about it, and it sounds like it's going to be well received. So I'm excited for this. Criterion needs a hit. Their last Need for Speed did not hit that good at all. So we're going to see on that one.
Yeah, they went like crazy direction with this. And I really, really want to see all these customizations. Like they're showing some crazy customized cars. I want all that customization in there.
Yeah, absolutely. Hell yes. Okay, on to the next one, we got some Splinter Cell news. So as you guys know, just recently, Splinter Cell had its 20-year anniversary. So that just makes me feel older than I felt like I already was, which is great. But in the midst of all of this, we're getting a lot more little kind of tidbits of Splinter Cell, which is great. There's a really great YouTube video I got to tell you guys to go check out. It is the 20th anniversary discussion of the remakes that's coming out. And they have everybody there talking about the originals and how they were affected and when they played them. Cause a lot of these people are our age, Josh, and they're making a remake of Splinter Cell now of a game that they fell in love with 20 years ago before they were, you know, making games.
Super cool.
Very cool. It's like a quick 20-minute watch. Go check that out sometime. That's a good one. But the cool thing is that BBC is doing a radio show. It's called Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Firewall. And you guys will be able to tune into this and listen to it on podcast platforms as well. And tune in for it on Limelight podcast feed. Okay. That's a BBC podcast feed that you can find starting today when you're listening to this, December 2nd. I'm excited for this. It's going to be like a short little mini series. And I like these a lot because it's one of those things that you don't get And I just like different. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's just where it comes. I like different. We just talked about it on Unbound, right? You know, it's just like,
yeah,
it's different. It gets me interested.
Dude, ever, I didn't even know radio shows were still going.
Yeah, podcasts. I mean, radio shows now. Callisto okay, Protocol, that's right? Fair. I believe I shared a link to you for that one, but I don't know if you've taken a listen to it yet.
Yeah,
I'm waiting. Yeah, I haven't either. I'm waiting the same kind of thing where it's like backstory of what's going on. But this one here is going to be another story of Sam Fisher. And it says, when a lethal assassin from Sam Fisher's past returns from the dead on a mission of murder, he is thrust into a race against time as a sinister threat to global security is revealed. So, you know, it's like those old serial radio shows we remember, like our parents talking about and stuff. Like, I know. And I think that's pretty cool. They're using another medium to like enrich the story and you know, what you're going to maybe they'll reference this stuff later in a video game as an Easter egg or something like that, you know?
Right.
So I know I'm the Splinter Cell guy out of the group, but this definitely gets my juices flowing with more something from Splinter Cell. We got Netflix coming with a show. This is happening. A remake's happening. Thank goodness. Just keep it coming. But had a quick throw out there to check this one out because I think it's going to be pretty fun. Yeah, something new.
Gotta love extra content from a series you love.
Absolutely. Hell yes. And some new series. This is going to be interesting to see. I'm going to follow this one kind of closely. Starship Troopers is getting a 12-player co-op, sort of horde mode video game coming out. Starship Troopers Extermination lets you blast some bugs next year. So 2023, this is coming out. From what I understand so far, this looks like it's going to be a PC only. You can go out and already wishlist it and add it to your Steam account. Josh, have you ever seen the Starship Troopers movies?
I feel like I know vaguely what it is, but I don't think I've seen them.
Okay. Yeah, this is Neil Patrick Harris before like he was like a star. Like he did Doogie Howser, was like this big deal, and then he kind of did these weird little other movies and B-rolls and, you know, things like that. And he did this, which kind of hit a lot of people's B-movie, you know, column.
Okay.
It essentially you are a bunch of troopers and you go from planet to planet eradicating you know, bugs, like whether it be, you know, like scorpion looking bugs or alien type bugs, basically, you know. They're
It's kind of like StarCraft, the Terrans versus the Zerg, and trying to stop the Zerg invasions.
Exactly. It's got a StarCraft feeling to it for sure. They're making a first person shooter. It's kind of came out of nowhere, but I was impressed because we've talked about this a little bit on the show, something other than vampires or zombies. You know what I mean? Cause it's just like,
yeah. That is a more unique concept when it's not one of those two. Yeah.
And this looks interesting. I mean, the video they put out there is just a couple of minutes long and, you know, it's almost like a tower defense style game built in with the FPS style. And you're going to have, I believe it's three different classes. Assault, support, and defense will be your three classes.
Very basic.
Yep. Which I'm good with basic. Don't give me too much and ruin the fun. But it says from these three classes, you'll hopefully find one that suits your play style. And while you defend your bases, completing objectives and gathering resources and killing all the bugs you can find to defend your base, you'll be constructing walls, building towers, and ammo stations, and more by using resources acquired from planet-side refineries. So it feels kind of like an RTS, FPS, tower defense, kind of all kind of crammed into one. It sounds ambitious in some ways, but yeah. I hope it's not too much for, you know, what all's happening here. What is it it says here? Yeah, it looks like they're just deep space Vanguard troopers. So this, I don't think they're referencing anything specifically to the movie. I feel like this is just kind of another realm of the same universe decades later or something, I would imagine.
Sure. Yeah, no, that makes sense. Sounds like it's, it could just be a good, straightforward, hopefully not too simple of a game, but like if you just want to jump in and like shoot a bunch of stuff and not die. You just got off a big story game, you're like, all right, I just need to like destroy some things, or you know, something a little bit more straightforward. It seems like it'd be a good option.
Yeah. It does say, looks like you're going to have multiple different versions of the bugs here. So there's a drone, warrior, gunner, plasma grenader, and tiger elite. Like, that sounds a lot like a Halo sort of thing, honestly. That's what it sounds like, you know, kind of really the tiers does. Of them.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, those will be the different style bugs that can come at you to work through. Each level will be a large map with 5 unique zones with hundreds of bugs on screen. I like that. I like, you know, pumping the power out there.
Hundreds of bugs. Yeah.
The footage is great too. There are a bunch of them on the footage. The screenshot here is not super great at seeing like a huge distance we have now, but this is more of a tunnel view. But yeah, it says with bigger and badder bugs making an appearance during the more hectic battles. So it sounds like there might be little boss battles kind of built into it as well.
Nice. And I like that.
Your goal is to recapture the planet to take it back from, you know, all the bugs that have infiltrated. So
instead of capture the flag, it's capture the planet. Nice.
Capture the planet. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, good call. On to the next little bit here. Let us know if you guys know Starship Troopers, right? By the way, I mean, before I move on, I want to know how many of our loud crowd out there have watched Starship Troopers. I mean, come on, you got to enjoy a mixed gender shower sex scene stuff, right? I mean, that's our demographic. I do have to tell a quick story though. We watched the first Starship Troopers in my 8th grade classroom in school. And there's nudity in it and an intergender shower scene. It was awesome. It was awesome to be in that 8th grade class.
Oh boy, that poor teacher got reamed.
Yeah. He was the coolest teacher on the planet. None of us told anybody. And we got to finish the movie the next week. Yeah.
Okay. Nobody knew then. Yeah.
Nobody knew. We had his back 100%. All of us. All of us. Yeah. Not just the boys. Okay. All of us had his back. That just goes to show that this movie was entertaining for everyone. Okay. Period. Nice. So let us know. Have you seen it? Did you enjoy the intergender shower scene? Let's hear it. Let's hear it. Come on.
So tell us how you enjoyed it. But
No. Just yes or no. That's all we're looking for. Yeah. Right. Okay, on to some next stuff. We're gonna talk some numbers with Steam. So these guys hitting some record numbers over. These are big numbers we're about to talk about here. This is kind of stupid. So Steam keeps a concurrent, you know, how many people are playing at one time. And as of Sunday, so just November 27th, okay. This is just stupid to me. Steam had 31,906,400 concurrent users.
Jesus Christ. That's so much.
Nuts. All at one time insane. Playing games.
Yeah.
We love video games, guys. And that just goes to show right there what the case is. I mean, that is absolutely insane. Steam's previous concurrent user record was 30,049,264. So almost 2 million more people, over 1.5 million. Well, 1,800,000 more. That is amazing. So it blew me away. I couldn't believe it at all. Approximately 9.4 million people were actively playing a game or using the Steam client. Still incredibly impressive statistics regardless. That is nuts.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. Yeah, you could say they're not running out of steam anytime soon.
Love it. He's on his toes over there, ladies and gentlemen.
That's awesome. I mean, it really is a great service, though. I mean, I know everyone uses it, and they're kind of like the giant in that sort of place in the industry. But it really is just an easy to use service. It keeps everything well organized. You know, I've been using it for many, many years, and really haven't had any complaints.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I've just delved in 2022 for the first time, and I think it's unbelievably good. It's great. So well-deserved. Keep it up over there at Valve. You guys are awesome. We're going to talk about some PlayStation Plus leaks. We have a few that they're talking about here. Now, these are leaks, so these may not be confirmed, but I'm going to almost put money that this is confirmed because Mass Effect is one of these. and this one was already sort of leaked a little while back. Just hit PlayStation Plus. I think it was a premium tier. So the fact that it's now going to be available right away does not surprise me a whole lot.
Okay.
Now, I have not played the third one on here. Well, Biomutant is another one I've played. Actually, check out my review. I do have a review earlier on in our podcast days. So back there, you can check that out. See what I thought about that game. I would definitely say it's worth your download if this is a free to check out sort of situation here. But this DKO Divine Knockout, have you ever seen this game, Josh? Because I will tell you, I'm completely naive about it.
I have not. No idea what it is.
None. I was completely lost on it. They just say it is a brand of fast-paced brawler set in a stylized world of gods and mythology. DKO combines physics-based combat, a vibrant roster of deities, and third-person combat that puts you right in the heart of the action. So, again, asking everybody out there listening, if you've played this, checked it out, you know, hit us up in the comments below. Let everybody else in the loud crowd know too. Worth checking out? What's hype about it? What's not hype about it? I'm just curious.
Yeah, for sure.
If it's worth our time, I would assume. Like I said, I would almost put money that these are going to be the real ones, because the particular leaker on this article has he's been hitting home runs pretty much each time. So worth watching out for. Watching. And Josh, if Biomutant's free, you need to play Biomutant.
I know, dude. I was about to say, what a solid lineup for December. I mean, at least two of these three are definitely worth picking up. Hopefully the third one is too.
Yeah, maybe the third one's a little bite-sized guy that I could pick up and have some fun with in just a few hours. So hit us up, let us know on that. We'd definitely love to talk some more game stuff with that stuff hitting us there. Josh, you've got some stuff to talk about. We're going to talk with Hideo Kojima and some Metal Gear.
Yeah, not Metal Gear, I guess. Yeah, a little bit of, I don't know, maybe, you know, kind of torn news. Sad part is no Metal Gear anytime soon. I believe it's says it, he's kind of announced that he's working on some few different projects right now, none of which are Metal Gear, which is kind of sad, but we got Walking Simulator when he didn't, so I mean,
yeah, right.
Yeah, but
Lord,
no, I'm
Lord
clearly
of the Rings, simulator, right? Yeah, that's more what, right? Mountain climbing simulator.
Yes. he's definitely shown now that he's able to make incredible things outside of Metal Gear. I know that was his, you know, pride and joy for a long time, and I'm sure it still is. But it sounds like he's been ready to move on to do other stuff. He's got some other ideas, and this guy's got a crazy mind for design and storytelling. So I mean, a little sad, but also a little exciting to see what new stuff he's got coming out.
Yeah, because he has a podcast called Brain Structure out there if you guys want to check it out. And he says he acknowledges the fans' request for him to do another Metal Gear Solid game, noting that he sees them as a positive thing, but he also wanted everyone to know that it isn't happening. He said this was also the case with Kojima's Silent Hill, the version PT that everybody should be aware of out there. If you're not, check that one out. Pretty creepy. But The good news about this that I read from it says, while some Metal Gear Solid fans seem to be disappointed that Kojima won't be revisiting the title, many also express their support. They're noted that fans should put these requests and rumors to rest and let Kojima expand his horizons with other projects as mentioned. He's been busy working on a new video game such as Project Overdose and an unnamed VR title and an Xbox exclusive game and a mysterious title that could potentially be Death Stranding 2. And it says, apart from that, you know, he has expressed interest in creating movies and music. However, this doesn't really mean no more Metal Gear, because he and Metal Gear and Konami have separated. They parted ways. That does mean, Virtuous is a company that is working with Konami, and they might still be delivering Metal Gear Solid Remake. So there is still hope on the horizon for something.
Okay, a remake. It'd get me a little concerned. I'm like, what is Metal Gear storytelling going to be without Kojima?
I mean, they can't do too many liberties there. Like, they're going to have to just make the game, add some, like, new mechanics, but keep the story the same. and
exactly
don't do anything nuts there, because I mean that those were some of the first games that were made around story. They were crazy, they were wacky, they're over the top, but their story was just what people played them for, honestly.
Right.
So that is still some good news. But they do tell you idle time. Like, you're just going to have to wait and see on this one, right? We know gas isn't cheap and we don't like to let and set our cars idle, but we're going to have to idle on this one, right?
So just let it stew. Just wait to see what comes out.
That's right. Yep. All right. On to some Witcher stuff. We're going to be talking remakes. Well, you know, remakes are all right in my book.
Yeah.
Open world, man. I'm cool with this. I know.
The Witcher 1 will have some more open world elements. It seems like more than just a remake. It's going to be like sounds like a Witcher 1 redesign. You know, they're not going to stray completely from like the game, but sounds like they're modernizing it quite a bit by giving it some open world elements. What that means right now, I'm not sure. I haven't played The Witcher 1. It's something I've kind of been interested in, but I've honestly never heard anything good out of The Witcher 1.
Yeah.
I've heard it's pretty rough to play.
I'll tell you what I've heard. I've heard it needs a remake. You know what I mean? So
yeah. Hey, if they can redo it and modernize it, I'm definitely jumping in, because I would like to see that part of the story, but I don't know if I want to muddle through that much crappy gameplay to get to it.
Yeah, exactly.
Super cool. Now CD Projekt Red has a whole new set of steam and esteem with them now that, you know, Cyberpunk has both had a really great anime and the game is now really, really great, along with some DLC coming out.
Solid 180 that thing made.
Oh, the biggest 180 it made. So this is really exciting for the Witcher series. I know everybody wants more Witcher content, even after they claimed that 3 would be the last, but you know, I think people spoke loud enough that they saw the passion from the fans, and hey man, they're doing more, bringing more Witcher content.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just quick wrap it up. One little paragraph they say here, it says the original Witcher RPG released in 2007 was divided into a number of large maps, which contained smaller crypt and cave maps, but didn't feature a seamless open world in the sense that The Witcher 3 does. A better comparison would be Dragon Age Origins, which I have played Dragon Age Origins, and I know what they're saying now, and that makes sense. So if you can open that up and give us free reign, go for it, because that's really, I think that's where Witcher just really strives. Like, it gets out there and just struts in the open world, you know?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, Pokemon, Josh, you're the Pokemon guy. Fastest selling Nintendo game ever.
Yeah, which is crazy. Like, that's, I knew some of the stuff was sounding really positive. I did not anticipate it being their fastest selling game ever.
10 million copies in 3 days.
Insane. Truly insane. It makes me want to pick it up. Like, I know I'm going to pick it up eventually, because I've been a long time player and I pick up every game they put out. Well, I wouldn't say every like mainline game they put out.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, I got a buddy who's been playing it. He has had some really great reviews. So based on what his comments and stuff on, he also being a long time player, it's kind of makes sense. Like, apparently, like, the story's good. It's got like kind of multiple objectives. It's not quite as linear as it once was, and there's plenty of content to do and run around. Heard reports of some like kind of rough graphical glitches that kind of smooth out over time. I'm hoping they're iterating patches. It's one reason I didn't pick it up as soon, but I'm hoping everything gets fixed. And I honestly, if it's their fastest selling game ever, it's probably still really good, that glitches aside.
Yeah, it's sitting at like a 73 on Metacritic right now, and that's the overall Metacritic score. User score, 2.9. It is generally unfavorable based on almost a little over 2,400 reviews. So,
Really? Wow. Yeah. Okay, a lot worse than maybe I was thinking.
Yeah. So the stuff I only know about Pokemon, I'm not the player of Pokemon. I listen a lot about it. I know a lot of people who play it. And obviously I listen to other podcasts as well, who they play it way more than I do. And yeah. which is every podcast, because I don't play it at all. So, but the thing about it is I've actually heard people who are like hardcore fans that are super, super pissed off at the, you know, what is happening with, you know, making Pokemon an open world and doing these things they're doing, you know, like they did with Arceus and
that. Sure.
But somehow or another, this game has won them all over, even with the terrible performance and the glitches and everything that's been happening. Because this game has had like really, really bad frame rate issues. Like it can't even be 30 frames per second on the Switch. So it's more or less broken. One person I heard talking about it said that in the time frame that he's played it, which has only been days now, guys, because it just released less than a week ago, is he said I've already had like 15 hard crashes. Like, which he's like, oh my for me, God, he's like,
that's really bad.
Yeah, it was on like a I think it was a weekend. So he said it was like, you know, 6-7 times a day that it had done that to him. And he's like, I still love this fucking game. I was just like, oh my God, that's crazy to me.
It has to be good, but that's insane. That's not like a Nintendo game, though. They usually come out rock steady.
Yeah, that is very strange. And to sell 10 million copies in 3 days, I mean, that's great. And it's also problematic because I don't want to say your game's broken, but if it's crashing, it's broken.
You're
selling a broken game, 10 million copies. Are you really going to fix it? Are you going to go back and do something right? Or are you going to keep doing this same, you know, rinse and repeat? I don't like that thought process, but hopefully they'll stand behind their product and be like, okay, we need to do better for our, you know, fans, because that's why we do this.
I'm sure Nintendo is knocking on Game Freak's door incessantly to make this stable.
Yeah, I because would sure hope so.
If anything else, Nintendo products have always been stable. I don't know if I've ever had a game crash on my Switch, to be honest with you.
Yeah, right, exactly. So check that one out. Let us know, you guys out there all play Pokemon. Tell us what you guys think if you're playing this one right now. Sell Josh on it. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to sell him too hard, but you know.
Yeah, I want to hear your opinions.
On to the next one here. We're going to talk a little bit of God of War. You guys should have seen we've put out quite a bit of content here recently. We did skip a couple news weeks because we wanted to bring nothing but God of War week. So we did that.
Yeah.
And we have the director of God of War, Ragnarok. He wants to make Castlevania, man. He wants to hand over the keys.
Yes, please. If they could do this with God of War, and I didn't realize the director had been with the God of War series since the beginning of the God of War series, not just 2018.
Yeah, 2004, man.
Insane. Yeah, he definitely was the guy to do that game justice. But if that team can do Castlevania, oh my, I don't care what Castlevania character they put. They could do any of the Belmonts. They could do Soma. They could do Alucard. I don't care who the main character is. I want them to do it. I mean,
hell yeah.
God of War was re-envisioned that well. My God, imagine what they could do with other popular game series that have been dead for a while.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, he did joke about this on another podcast over at the Kind of Funny Cruise podcast, and his favorite game of all time is 1997's PlayStation Castlevania Symphony of the Night. And last thing he said was, I don't know what I'm doing next, but if somebody gets me the Castlevania license, I'd love to make that. I mean, come on. Like,
Yeah. I'm hoping he got a few phone calls.
Yeah. He deservedly should have received a phone call or two because of what he's done here, with God of War. Absolutely incredible. Once again, go check out all of our content. We have multiple videos you'll see down below. They're really fun. We had a great time making them.
Yeah,
really fun time playing the game. And we got the spoiler free stuff, so you guys don't have to get anything ruined for you if you don't like.
Yeah, and if you've already played it, we did a spoiler cast too, and so you can hear all of our thoughts on all the juicy story.
Yes, so juicy. All right, gonna move on, almost wrapping up with the news here. Second to last here before we get off is gonna be James Gunn talking DCU. Sorry, the E is gone now, guys. It's DCU now. So the DC universe games are gonna be canon, and they're going to be part of all the content that they're gonna be doing through the continuity.
Oh, wow. Okay.
James Gunn, for anybody out there who's not familiar, might be tuning in for the first time here to us. James Gunn is now the Kevin Feige of DC. So he's going to be the guy who's just coming up with all the plans and doing everything in the background. So he did confirm that the DCU continuity under his DC Studios will not only include TV and movies, but video games as well. So that means look forward to video games in the future. We're going to be getting either games tied into movies or some sort of tie-in characters that you get additional content from. Similar, I mean, kind of like the radio show, you know, we talk about with Splinter Cell, kind of ties into this a little bit because,
yeah,
I mean, I think it's kind of cool when video games do this, where I've always liked it more when they've taken a game and used it as like a side piece instead of like copying the movie and putting it out on a disc.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I would much rather have something that adds to the movie instead of just trying to, you know, mimic the movie the whole time.
Yeah, and exactly.
I think we finally have the technology. We have the creators and everybody behind that now that they feel the same way. I think we finally all caught up to each other and they're like, you know what? Why make the movie into a video game when we can make additional content to add to the fun or the universe?
Yeah, thank God. Gone are the days of shitty video games for money grab because you got to play the movie in a really poor way.
Right.
they got shit on all the time. And they kept doing them. And they're fine. Yeah. Yeah. Recent history. Luckily, that has stopped happening.
Yeah. Thank God. So I'm really looking forward to seeing. I mean, I could speculate for hours on a podcast about what he could do here. I like the idea of making each thing its own universe and then later having them come together. I think that would be dope. Like,
that'd be cool.
You know, just having little meetups and movies or something, you know, where a lot like what Marvel is doing and has done, where, you know, they had the television show for a little while before Disney Plus, and they had little like kind of things in the I think it was just Agents. I think if I remember right, it was just Agents, Shield.
Agents of Shield.
Right. Agents of Shield. They had just like little like Easter eggs. And if you didn't catch them or you didn't watch the show, you didn't miss anything in the movies. They were still cool.
Right.
You got that little Easter egg in the movie when you caught something or connected it to the television show. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So doing that is also not the easiest thing in the world to do without leaving, you know, your whole movie crew or movie lovers out of the TV lovers, you know, you got a balance there. But anyway, we'll definitely continue speculating on that. They bring some DCU games out. I'm definitely ready. The big one obviously is Suicide Squad, which we have right up on screen right now for everybody to see. That's the next one I'm super pumped about. Gotham Knights missed the mark with me. And man, I really want a good game from DC again. And it's been a while since
I played
in Arkham or, you know, anything like that. So I'm ready to play something cool. And Kill the Justice League looks really, really fun so far.
Hell yeah.
All right, well, we're going to end it off. Like we said, we're going to talk about some game releases. So here we go. We're going to have not very many, but we do have some games coming out. So the big one, Callisto Protocol, December 2nd. Marvel Midnight Suns, December 2nd. Need for Speed Unbound, we talked about, December 2nd. Inscriptions coming to the Switch on December 1st. So you should be able to already pick that up.
Great Switch game.
From what I understand, yes, because it's very card-based, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it'd be a really good portable game. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. Those will be the four that are be coming out this week as you guys are listening to us. And we'll report on some new ones that might be coming out in the following week as well. But Callisto Protocol and Unbound, man, I did not see myself having like a little bit of a what if, like, you know, which one should I, you know, Callisto Protocol. I do have to clarify. We posted up on our Facebook that they were like putting like animations and everything behind paywalls and so on and so forth. Well, a fan of the show came on and he corrected us, which we love. I know what we're wrong.
Yep,
we're not always right. But it's actually DLC that will have new animations and additional content that you will have to pay for through season pass.
Additional. Yeah.
Yes.
Which additional. Is way different than anything. anything else.
So, yeah. Apologize for that misleading article that was put up there by us. But yes. So that helped me a little bit because I was pretty upset when I originally, you know, thought it was the opposite of what we just said there.
Yeah.
But Unbound is looks really, really fun and it's neat looking, but we'll see. What maybe one of those two I'll be reporting on here in the near future. Well, that is it for this week, though. We're going to get out of here. We got a podcast to record for you guys coming up on Monday. So don't forget to tune in for that. And everybody on our Patreon, don't forget, Got the Patreon episode coming out this coming week as well, so tune in for that too.
Yeah.
And get it. We're going to be back in a week. So until then, everybody out there, game on.
Volume up.
And stay loud.
Email, follow, watch, and listen to all of our content by visiting loudthumbs.com and join the loud crowd.
To help us grow the show, you can leave an Apple Podcast review or give us a Spotify star rating. It really helps us stand out.
Thank you to our Patreon subscribers, Caleb Lynch, Brian Koger, Lisa Westerberg, Zach Mesra, Holden Moffitt, SirsFurniture.com.